grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I do want to welcome you to this last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King Sunday, as we come to worship and kind of wrap up an entire year in one sermon. Shouldn't go over 400 or 500 years in a sermon, so it won't be too bad, but we do come to wrap that up because we have Christ the King Sunday, so we praise God for this day. We thank all of y'all for being here in worship, and for those who will be hearing this on the internet, we praise God for each of you. It is a great day to be here and to worship Christ on this Christ the King. So let us begin worshiping. Our pianist is out today. She'll be back next week. Just has a little something going on there. So just pray for her. She's at home. And so everything's good. So let us come to God this day at the chiming of our hour, then listen to our prelude that I believe my wife is going to play for us after we hear the chiming.
No, I'm doing
the Christmas. We'll do most of it. Okay. Sing More Precious Than Silver, I do need to remind you that this is Cupcake Day. For those who have had birthdays or anniversaries this month, we'll be in the Fairs and Spares room for that. All are welcome to join us, and not just those who had birthdays and anniversaries. So feel free to come and eat those, and I would invite you to please come and eat those, because we have 36 cupcakes back there, and Marilyn and I do not need to take any of those home with us. Okay, so please come and feel free to come and participate with us in that time. Now, let us sing More Precious Than Silver as Marilyn will play for us. Let us pray. And now, Lord, we come to this time to celebrate Christ the King, who walks with us and loves us, who gives us hope and gives us strength and gives us the power to live day to day. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless us as we worship. Consecrate us and give us your peace. And allow us to find you in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we remain standing, let us sing "A Mighty Fortress," page 110 or on the screen. Page 137, Psalm 23 on page 137 or the screen. Let us join together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray together. You open us up to a world that is full of wonders. The beautiful sunrise as we saw it coming towards Pleasant Hill today, even as the clouds gathered in. The greeting and meeting of people in all three churches and the worshiping and the singing. The watching as you worked among each person and as you gave hope and strength to each one. And the seeing of your presence. To find your spirit at hospitals where surgeries happened this week. And for the surgeries that went well, we give you thanks and praise. For those who work through feet that have been broken and lives that seem to be shattered. And for those who walk down paths of praise and thanksgiving and pain and struggle. For our world that seems to be in chaos. And yet out of chaos, at the beginning, was formed all that is, as God put everything into its place and made it into the worlds that we live on and know and see. So if we feel like we're in chaos, ask God to put order. And if our life seems too ordered, which seems almost impossible at times, maybe we need a little chaos so that we can watch God work. Or simply we can call upon the name of the Lord and see God work in all things. We ask for healing upon our land, upon each other. We ask for grace in all places. And we ask, O Lord, that you would grant to us a willing spirit, that we would listen to you and be changed. Now bless us, O God, and give us your strength. Honor us with the wisdom to do what you are calling us to do. And the strength to say no when we shouldn't, do what others want us to do. Help us, O Lord, to find the power and in the grace of this moment. And in doing so, allow us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles,
when you said to them, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'd ask that you would stand and sing with us, It's Me, O Lord, page 352, or on the screen, standing and singing as God leads you to do so, loudly. Ask our ushers to come forward, please. Let us pray together. May the gift of this day be you, and may our giving show that we have faith in the one that gave. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. would ask that you remain standing for the reading of God's holy word, found in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 33 through 37. I promise you one day the choir will sing again. Amen. Even if it's just me and Georgia doing a duet, we'll do it, won't we? It would be pretty on your side. Then it'd be me on the other. But anyway, we get over it. John 18, 33 through 37. Let us hear this word. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoning Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, the kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray together. And now, Lord, we thank you for this day, for being part of this moment. Help us. Help us, O Lord, to be open to the word and the grace that you give in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this is the last Sunday of the church year. Amen. Christ the King Sunday. You have now, the carolers are going to keep y'all from seeing me. Y'all missing me? I may have to go back high again. All right, y'all talked me into it. I'll go back up. We did want to welcome the Carroll family. I forgot to do that. Jonathan gave that to us as he decorated this week. So I'll come back up and stay put. It will hurt me, but I'll do it. We are in that point of the last Sunday of the year. So you have went through Advent. You have been through Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. You've been through Christmastide. Do y'all remember Christmastide? Next time you sing the 12 days of Christmas, you're singing Christmastide. January 6th is Epiphany. Epiphany, of course, is the old Christmas. For the first 250 years that the church celebrated Christmas, they celebrated on January 6th. The Epiphany of Christ, the coming of God as a baby. One of the popes, I always want to remind it, is Pope Pontius VI changed it. Somebody will text me this week from the internet and tell me I'm wrong on that and give me the right one. And I admit to probably being wrong, but it's in that time frame that it happened, and it was moved to the 25th. Hence, Christmastide is the bridge between those two times. Okay? And then after Christmastime, you have Epiphany. I ought to give you a test paper today and let you see if you can fill it out. After Epiphany comes Lent. All right, Mary Lynn's answering back here, but she's been through this 100 times with me. Comes Lent, and Lent is leading up to Easter. And then we have Sundays after Easter. 100 years ago, that was called Eastertide, but now it's Sundays after Easter. And then we have Pentecost Sunday, coming of the Holy Spirit to the church. And then after that, we have Sundays after Pentecost. For those of us who have been around long enough, remember that in September we used to go to Kingdom Tide, which was teaching season. And so those who have been with us over the last few weeks have heard me do a sermon series on faith. Hence, I started it during Kingdom Tide when it would have happened and taught faith for the number of weeks that would have been that time. Which leads us to today, Christ the King Sunday. Now, I'll say to y'all, for those who know that we'll begin Advent next week, we have Advent booklets. They are free. There are plenty of them. We had some left over last year, but feel free to get one. As y'all know, these come from the Society of St. Andrews, who I support with all I can, which is not a lot, but all I can. And the Society of St. Andrews, they glean food after the harvest, and they feed the people around the world with the gleaning of their food. If any of y'all have ever been to a drop that they have, the last one I went to was not my favorite. It was a turnip drop. A semi-truck full of turnips was dropped at the church I was at. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have turnips in my driveway for the next 400 years. The turnips were gone by 10:30 that morning, and we dropped them at 8. They went to food banks and different people and those things. So I always try to support the Society of St. Andrews. So you'll see advertisement in their booklets, okay? Just endure it. It's wonderful. Help them if you can. That's my advertisement for the day. So we have our church year. And we come to this moment. And the goal is to wrap up the church year in one sermon. To talk about all that has occurred, all that's unfolded, everything that has changed us and moved us, has saddened us, has strengthened us. And what I'd like you to do this morning, and I know this isn't easy, and I know in your souls it may be personal, but I want you within yourself, I'm not asking you to testify, although a good testimony meeting is never bad for anybody, but I'm not asking you to testify, but I'm wanting you to look back at this last year. At all the things that occurred in your life over the last year. The things that hurt, the things that caused struggle, the things that made you excited, the things that changed you with that excitement, the sadness of things. And then the joy of things. This year, if everything goes right, on the 23rd, which is Christmas Eve, as the way I count it, I'm having almost our entire family to our house. I know you're saying, well, you're having. Yes, we're having, but I'm cooking. I'm the chef for the day. So that I mean there'll be four granddaughters. There'll be a son-in-law and an almost son-in-law. There'll be our three daughters. And we're still trying to talk Marilyn's mom into coming. But she's thinking that's way too many people in a house of 1,100 square feet for an entire day. We are praying for sunshine. And I'm cooking Japanese food for everybody on the grill. If you want to come, come on. Watch two or three more when you're cooking for that many. I say that because our family will come. And if I want to look at the year that's went past, All I have to do is look at this family. I have to watch them. I have to think of our wedding anniversary and birthdays and how somehow they've all grown. I don't know about Mary Lynn, but she's not old enough to have a 37 or 35-year-old daughter. And I know I'm not. It all is there for us to look at. And when I look at that and I start thinking about what the year has been, what the church year has brought, how it has changed in the churches that I pastor, and how her life itself has changed. And you start trying to sum it up on Christ the King Sunday. And I think about the scripture. What are we about? Ask another way, how is your faith? You know, faith, even though it shouldn't, but faith ebbs and flows. Sometimes your faith is strong and positive and full, and you've just got all this joy within your faith being, and you praise God, and you do all these things that make you feel that power of the Holy Spirit. I hope all of you have had those moments of that this year. And sometimes your faith at times almost seems non-existent. You wonder how come God has left you and where what you have done to be abandoned. And the fact is God never left you, but you wondered. We all have those faith moments. We all struggle in them. And the scripture is a struggle moment. If you look at it, Pilate's got a mess on his hands. Have you ever been the person that had to make a decision and you knew that no matter what decision you made, that somebody was not going to like it and somebody was going to be disappointed in the decision you made? Have you ever been that person that they put in charge? I remember my second day as a district superintendent. Second day. I wasn't even officially the district superintendent yet. But I'd been in my office 2 days. I didn't even have a chair yet. Previous DS liked the chair, so he took it with him. And I was waiting on mine to show up, so I was using the chair that was one of those folding ditties. And one of the churches came in, and they said, "We're leaving. Bye." Now, let's make sure you understand, district superintendents before September, after they arrive in June, have had no training at being a district superintendent. Training happens in September. You have July and August between there. So not knowing a clue what I'm doing, I looked at them and said, "Okay, give me your keys." "What?" I said, "Give me a key." "You're leaving, right?" Now remember, I don't know if I'm right or wrong. Administrative assistant sitting outside the desk, outside the office, listening to me going, I think she's praying real hard. I think I heard her mumbling like, "What is he going to do?" Well, long story short, they stayed. I played golf with most of those guys the rest of my 7 years up there. They said, "We just want to see if you're willing to stand up to us." And after they left, I'm wondering, did I really stand up to them? I know what it's like to have to make decisions you don't actually know what you're doing. and nobody's going to like it. Pilate doesn't have a clue what he's doing. If you think Pilate's in charge here, Jesus reminds him he's not. And Pilate comes into there and he asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus, instead of answering, says, "Who told you to ask?" And Pilate looks at him and says, "Am I a Jew? Am I?" Now, if you read Josephus' readings, which I've talked to about him before, he suggests that Pilate's wife had a Jewish lineage. While not a practicing Jew, had a Jewish lineage and knew what this was about. Remember, letters she says have nothing to do with this man. He's at this place where he's asking questions because he knows Jesus is guilty of nothing to have him there. Growing up or in high school, our principal was Mr. Black. He was about a 6'6", 280-pound guy. He towered over a whole lot of people in the high school. And I know that none of y'all had any days in high school where you acted weirder than you ought to as a high school student, but I had a few of those. And I had about a six-week period of my life that I would just go by his office and ask him to paddle me ahead of time so we could get it over with. Because I knew I was going to end up there sometime that day. And that was back when you could paddle. And he said, "Nah, I enjoy it more when I know what you've done." And I worked through that 6 weeks. I still don't know what that 6 weeks was about. And he used to ask me, "Why are you going to do something when you know it's wrong?" And my answer was always, "Because I don't know what's right yet." Pilate has no clue. He even goes as far as to saying to him, "What have you done?" And then Jesus answers back, not answering the question, of course, by saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." And then you get into this conversation where Pilate says, "So you are a king." And in Jesus' answers, "You say that I am." But he says this, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world." If Pilate had any clue what was being done and said at this point, he would have understood that Jesus just released him from what he thought he was in charge of, because Jesus is trying to say to him, "I came into this world to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and yet I have to be crucified for it to work." But Pilate, not knowing how to handle this, he deals with it and tries to work through it. And it comes to the place where Jesus says, "I'm testifying to the truth." Have you ever wondered what truth really is? What is truth? There's a movie where the question is, you can't handle the truth. What is truth? Now, I want to say something that in some way I think is startling, but other ways is obviously easy. In many situations, truth is different for each one of us. I was in counseling one time with a young lady, and she was trying to explain something to me. And I'll have to admit, I was sitting across the table, little coffee table with us and two chairs. And I finally looked at her and said, "I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about." And my explanation for that was, I'm going to call Mary Lynn. So I called my dear wife, and she came in. And when both of them sat in the room, I looked at the lady and said, I will never be, nor will I ever understand what it's like to be a woman who's been harmed and abused. I don't understand it. Mary Lynn looked at me like she has on many occasions in our marriage, like, it is now time for you to shut up and let me have time with this dear sweet lady. So they sat together, and I had sense enough to do what all good men should know what to do when they know they have no answer. I left. Why? Because I didn't know. Pilate wishes he could leave. I guarantee you, Pilate does not want to get up and walk back out there. He's in charge. He has no choice. And he has to go out, and with what authority he has, does this. This is the reading after 37. Pilate asked him, what is truth? After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, I find no case against this man. What does that mean? He's innocent, and there's nothing I can find wrong with him. But because they so disliked and hated Jesus, he says this, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews? And they shouted in reply, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a bandit. Sometimes our choices are so wrong, we choose the absolute wrong instead of choosing to be with the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords. Anybody ever done that before? Made the wrong choice, went the wrong direction, caused the pain in your life that you could have missed having? We've all been in places that are similar to that. But yet, here's the beauty of this moment and the moments that follow. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, on this Christ the King Sunday is always wanting to forgive. And he doesn't necessarily want to forgive the way we would forgive. You know, with circumstances. You act this way, I'll forgive you. You change your ways, I'll treat you better. You do what I'm asking you to do, I'll give you complete forgiveness. We start giving ways that people have to act so that they please us. What does Jesus do? If I don't teach anything else in my time in this church, please hear the following words. I will be your God if you will be my people. He simply asked us to accept him as Lord and Savior, be his people. And people will say, well, how about change? I'll promise you something. If you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will change. You may not change the way the people around you want you to change, but you will change. And you will be what God wants you to be if you will be God's person. To sum up our year on this Christ the King Sunday, have we as a church, and have we as individuals, learned to be God's people. I can only answer that for one person in this room, and that's me. I got nothing for you except to offer you to be God's person and people. That is where we are at this moment. Our entire church, the entire future of who we are individually and as a congregation, rests on, are we God's people? Because if we are, God will show us where to go. And if we're not, or if we're struggling with it, we might have to be Moses. Remember Moses? In a foreign land, comes to be the leader of the nation, confronts Pharaoh, leads his people across the Red Sea, takes them to the wilderness for 40 years. And he came to a point where he was supposed to speak to a rock and it produced water. Not quite having enough faith that he could just speak to the rock to make it produce water, he takes his staff and hits the rock for the water to come out. That night, God reveals to him that he will not go to the promised land, will go on top of the mountain and see the promised land, because he was not fully God's person, because he didn't follow what God had asked him to do. Wow. And I've got a feeling I've hit a whole lot of rocks instead of having faith. The difference is Jesus came and died on a cross. And what happened to our sins? In faith, they are forgiven. And I get to go to the promised land by faith. Will we be, and are we, God's people? Let us pray together. In the comfort of this moment, and the joy of the hour, and the listening to Pilate and understand that sometimes we have felt the way he felt, and watching as Jesus talked to him and Pilate became convinced that he was not guilty and yet had to turn him over. Let us walk our path and let us believe that God is God, and that we are guilty, but we are saved and we are justified because of the one who hung on the cross and rose again the third day. Bless us in that journey. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing Amazing Grace. We have verses 1, 2, 3, and 6. Let us stand and sing together Amazing Grace. The altar is open. Thank you. Remember, you have cupcakes waiting for you. Where else can you go and sing, have a good time together, and eat cupcakes? I mean, come on. It is a great thing. Go and enjoy them. Please help yourselves to them, two each at least. Okay, so remember that. And then after the end of that, you can take some home with you. So through that, we want you to go in peace. Remember also, we have nuts for sale. I don't know with Wanda not here who you would buy them from, but we'll figure that out. Amen. Write me a $100 check and I'll give you a bag. I have no idea what they cost, but we'll figure it out. Somebody will tell me before I walk down the aisle, I'm sure. Well, let's go in peace. In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, may God's blessing be with us and may God's love walk with us. Bless the food, which is our cupcakes. Said donuts, I think. Cupcakes. So let's enjoy them. Let us be part of that time together. And let us know your love is with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.